Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast, featuring comic book, movie, and video game news and reviews. And now your hosts, AJ and Martin.
Hey everybody, welcome to Panelcast. I know it's been a big, long 6-7 month break since the last episode, but we've been, you know, lazy. This is AJ, and I'm joined this episode by Richard.
Hello.
And Rosie.
Hello.
In this episode, we're going to kind of catch up on what we've been doing for the past 6 months, as well as talk about all the news and stuff that's happened, and what you can have to look forward to with Forbidden Panel and everything that we're doing. So, yes, another boring episode. So, we'll go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll go ahead and get started.
Hi, this is Vanessa with Blackbird Bows, inviting you to visit my website at blackbirdbows.com, where you can find 100% original and customized bows for every occasion. That's blackbirdbows.com.
And we're back. So, one of the big things that's happened in the past 6 months, news-wise, is the casting of Ben Affleck as Batman in the upcoming Superman vs. Batman film, as well as Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. What are you guys' feelings towards this?
Well, I think, honestly, I think Ben Affleck's kind of a stretch, but I think it could work out. I mean, the guy's... He's not that bad of an actor. Like, you know, how I constantly, on every show we do, promote the fact that I love reindeer games. He's actually a decent actor when he wants to be. When he's not being lazy, when he's given a decent script, he can act. And he's kind of got that dark broodingness about him, so I think he could do a decent Bruce Wayne. I'm just hoping that his Batman isn't cheesy.
Well, as far as being in the costume, he can't be worse than Val Kilmer with the big lips. No, but Val Kilmer was a good Bruce Wayne, so. I don't know, I don't like...
I didn't feel Val Kilmer's Bruce Wayne.
Really?
Though. Yeah, I didn't.
Actually, out of all of them, I thought Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne was pretty dead on.
Just yeah.
Because except for his perm.
Right, but his, I'm talking about his distanceness, his just like his kind of off-puttingness. It was, I think, was probably one of the best.
Yeah, but, you know, was he like 5'8"?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of killed it.
That's the other thing. Ben Affleck's kind of a big dude. So, and I think he's going to be a sleeper. I think he's going to be a shock to most people. A lot of people seem to be down on it. I won't say high hopes, but I've got pretty decent hopes the guy can pull it off.
So maybe like how the Joker came out, where everybody doubted. And then we were all like...
I don't think anything's going to be quite
no,
that great.
No, nothing will be
but
that
yeah.
amazing. But,
yeah.
But it might be the same kind of thing where everybody's like, oh, I don't know about that. And then he'll surprise us, hopefully, positively.
Well, see, the difference in that, to me, is A, you had Christopher Nolan being an influence behind the Joker, as well as the Bane portrayal and all that.
Okay.
In this one, Nolan's barely producing, not really directing, it's Zack Snyder.
Okay.
So I don't know if we're really going to see him be able to pull that out of Ben Affleck. However, Ben Affleck has done Daredevil, so he knows what it's like to be a shitty superhero.
Let's go ahead and pretend that never happened.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
But
that was a shitty script.
Since then, he has won Oscars for writing and directing.
Even before that.
He's done improved in his own acting, and this is one of the few times, again, where we're seeing Ben Affleck in a movie where he's not producing, directing, or writing.
Plus, he's playing more grown-up roles now. You know, where before he was playing kind of that punky kid from the streets, and now he's playing more of an adult. Like I was blown away by Argo, besides the fact that he wasn't Mexican. But,
and his beard was horrible.
Right, his weird, creepy beard. It's kind of like yours at this moment. But, but yeah, I was actually blown away by his acting in that movie. I thought he did a really good job. And he's like I said, he's playing more adult roles, so I'm thinking, you know, he'll have a edginess to him.
Now, do you think the pressure from the comic book community, the backlash on the Batman casting, will have something to do with it? Do you think he'll step his game up because of it?
He better.
You would hope that would, but he's kind of a prick. Like, he doesn't really care, and I don't blame him. Like, when you're in the public eye like that and you're constantly judged, he doesn't really give a damn what people think of him, you know? And I think he'll do it more for himself. He is a fan of comic books. So I think he'll do it more, you know, to prove to himself that he can do it, which I think would bring out the best in him.
Now, with the casting of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, I personally just don't see it. I'm just not feeling it. She could come out of left field and just nail it, but As Linda Carter stated, because everyone has been comparing her to not really looking like an Amazonian.
Right.
But Linda Carter stated, you know, Amazonians had one tit.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Unless she's really going to cut it off and become this butch right. woman, there's nobody that's ever going to portray an Amazonian in that matter. However, when you look at it in the godlike fashion, you know, I personally am used to like a bigger, I don't want to say beefier, but more a woman that looks like she can take care of herself.
Right.
You know? And I don't see Gal Gadot as that girl.
But once again, I mean, if her acting surpasses her looks, like honestly, the acting is what's gonna surpass it. Like, she's never gonna look like the character, but if she acts like the character, makes you feel like the character, it would completely look past the lack of beefiness, we'll say. Girth.
I actually can't stand Wonder Woman, so I really don't care. I have no feelings on the matter. I'm just like, she can be good or she can suck, and it won't matter to me.
What about the rumor that's leaked out that they're changing the background of her, and she's not really Amazonian, but Amazon is a sect of Kryptonia?
That is
almost hilarious.
No, that's, yeah, but that's almost hilarious, like a car accident.
Uh-huh.
That's just ridiculous. That would be something that I think is just ignorant. I mean, you're taking an iconic character and changing the back story, which DC constantly does, mind you. But I mean, that for them to do it to that extent is just ridiculous, I would think. Like, I hope that's just kind of brainstorming and just
BS.
Yeah, just goes away quickly.
Now, were you guys fans of Man of Steel?
It's not really spoilers anymore, right?
Yeah.
My biggest problem with the movie is, at no point do I want to live in a world where Superman kills somebody. I don't give a damn who it is. Superman is the Boy Scout for a reason. He is the conscience of the DC universe, and when they took that away, and when they added this grittiness and edginess to him, you're taking away the core of what the character is. So to me, it wasn't even a Superman. Like, it's not even Superman. It's just not. He might as well be freaking Steel.
Jack was busy that week.
Right?
I'm a bad nerd. I never saw it, so I can't really say whether or not I liked it. I didn't only hear good things, so that's not true at all.
You just heard a bad thing.
Right. Well, I mean,
well, yeah, that's true, too.
I mean, all in all, it's a good, exciting movie, but everything that Superman is, everything that character is, number one, he will do anything to protect Earth, and especially his city. Not destroy the whole damn city just to capture three people. I mean, everything in his core, that he's a constant good, he's a constant conscience. I don't want to live in a world where Superman kills somebody before Batman. It's just, it takes away from the character.
I agree with that. I mean, even though I haven't seen it, I definitely agree with that assessment.
So I liked the movie. I thought it was really cool. I just didn't like his levitating. And the obvious wire work. I understand wire work exists. I understand people need to use wire work to pull off some of the effects. Cool, I get that. I don't want to be taken out of that imagination frame of mind that I'm in, where he's sitting there and he's wobbling. That tells me he's obviously on a wire instead of actually floating. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, great movie, but there's parts where they're walking on the tree and they're teetering back and forth on the fulcrum points of their wires. That takes me out of the element, and that's one of the things that happened in Man of Steel. He was wobbling, and I didn't like that.
The thing about that is, with technology the way it is, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was one of the first to use wire work, so I can understand the wobbling on that. The wobbling in Man of Steel, at this point, is
lazy.
Yeah, just plain lazy. That's horrible post work,
right.
Is what that is. Like, really. Like, literally, they go, especially when they transfer to 3D, you're going frame by frame through a movie. That's why it takes so long. And for them to miss that, or just ignore it, thinking people aren't going to see it is it's lazy. There's no other.
And the other thing about it, like, I didn't like the story. I liked it. It was almost Ang Lee Hulk-esque, where he's very reflective and calm and just, you know.
They destroyed Metropolis.
But not only did they destroy Metropolis, okay, but if you pay attention and look, the streets are smooth.
Yeah.
There's rubble all around, and there's just smooth cement streets. So it's obvious they were on a set that they threw some rocks on and said, this is Metropolis.
Yeah.
No. I mean, first they destroy Smallville, and then they destroy Smallville could have been forgivable.
Right.
Because then he should have learned his lesson and taken that fight to the countryside or some other... They don't want to destroy Metropolis that much in the cartoon.
Like he always does.
Right.
I mean, yeah, that was... That was... It was basically like he might as well have been battling Doomsday.
Which would have been, to me, even a better movie.
Yeah, it would have made more sense to destroy the entire city because he couldn't control... And I'm sorry, the portrayal of Zod in that movie was just... On one half, I was really happy with it because he was very honorable and very militaristic and very the way Zod is.
And you almost pull from it sometimes.
Right, but then, like, some of the inconsistencies in the way they were portraying the character just kind of got weird just to make him seem badder. Like, they should have just made him seem like an ultra-militaristic guy that's worried about his people surviving. And just been that way instead of, like, trying to make him into a villain. You just got to make him just be that. He's so concerned about this, and that's why he's doing what he's doing. But they try to get this villainous to him, and it made it kind of cheesy at that point. It was too much.
So, with that...
And Superman's chest hair was creepy.
With that going into the new Batman vs. Superman, it seems like all the castings they're doing and parts that they're bringing in for sounds like a Justice League movie at this point. Don't know. I mean, Denzel Washington has been rumored as Green Lantern. I can't remember all the other people they're bringing in right off the top of my head, but there's a lot of people that they're almost Batmaning it, and where just an overabundance of bad guys are coming in, and it's just going to overshadow the main character.
I think they're bringing in high-profile actors to cover up for a horrible script. I honestly do. I think they have no sense of where the story they're going, like where the story's going to go. So they think that bringing in high-profile actors is going to take away from it, and I think it's just going to become a clusterfuck.
They're trying to Avenger it.
Yeah, but see, the difference is going into Avengers, they had an idea of where they were going.
Well, going into Avengers, you had other movies to introduce individual characters, and you brought them in. So you didn't have to waste the entire movie introducing who these people were.
Exactly. Like I said with Thor, like the first Thor movie, everybody talked about how it was horrible or boring. It was just kind of this is Thor. You get to know Thor.
Right.
You know, because you're going to see Thor in the Avengers now. So like, it gives you some familiarity with the characters. And I think that's the best way to go with it. And... like if they're just gonna clamor all these characters into this movie, there's no introductions. Like it's you're taking on too much information at once.
Right.
And like I said, it's gonna be a clusterfuck of a script. Like to introduce all these characters, and you're reintroducing if any of the truth to just redoing Green Lantern in general, you're reintroducing the character after a horrible movie. You know, having to reintroduce that character and with a completely different backstory, and then add all these other characters on top of you. You got to introduce Wonder Woman. I think it's too much for one movie.
Unless Peter Jackson directs it, then you know we'll have 5 parts and
right.
12 hours each film.
I don't know. I did just watch Desolation of Smog, and
are you as angry as I? Did you watch the Desolation?
No, I have purposefully not watched either of them because I don't want to wait a fucking year to finish. So I'm going to watch them all together when they're done.
After I saw Desolation of Smog, and I'm pretty much finished.
That was hard for me, too, because I love Cumberbatch.
I love The Hobbit. Like, growing up, like when AJ and I were in school, we were required, like, we had required reading for this. Like, you'd get a summer list of movies
you're supposed to
read throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Then you do a syllabus on it, a little book report or whatever. And I would always use the Lord of the Rings trilogy and The Hobbit. I love The Hobbit. The Hobbit was one of my favorites. When you sit there and watch a movie about a book that you love and half of the movie isn't in the book, and you're like, where the hell did this come from?
And you know, it'd be different if they referenced the Silmarillion as some sort of backstory. Or
yeah, but even...
But they don't.
Yeah.
Why the fuck is there a love triangle?
Right. Why is Legolas in it?
Why is Legolas in it?
Why are dwarves hot at all?
Dwarven women have beards. It's even noted.
Right? Like,
yeah.
That's just not supposed to happen.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. This entire movie, I'm watching it, and I'm like, I have a good ability to step away from what I know, about a subject matter and just go in blindly and accept that what I'm seeing is another interpretation. It's a different universe. You know, you can't watch Spider-Man and nitpick Spider-Man because of the Spider-Man you grew up with, because, I'm sorry, there's five different Spider-Mans out there, so you can't really do that. But, I mean, this is The Hobbit. You come off the first movie, which I thought they nailed. A couple small things, but I thought they nailed the movie. And then you go into The Desolation of Smaug, and you're just like, there's so many changes and so many differences that you're taken out of what you know and what you see, and you're just not in that element anymore. It just, it crapped me out.
And not only that, I mean, I can understand somebody else's vision, and I'm okay, I can get away from my own prejudices and my own, but it just, all in all, it wasn't that good of a movie. Like, it was too dependent on these weird action sequences that aren't, I mean, the over-the-top action sequences, like unnecessary special effects. Like,
at no point in time did it feel like they were struggling.
No.
And that's what it was supposed to feel. You know, it started with the goblin fight in the first movie. When they're going through the caves and everything just flowed. You know, and it looked like happenstance was happening. But this movie, it felt like on purpose, and it was over the top, and you don't feel that they're struggling. The first trilogy, you felt Frodo and Sam struggling to get up that mountain. You know, you felt them struggle to get through the battles and the fight. People died left and right. All this stuff was happening. In this, they just seemed to, like, smooth their way through it. It's like Longshot's hanging out with them or some shit.
And it felt, to me, it felt way too, like, I don't know, this is a weird way to say it, but it felt too clean. There was no grittiness about it. There was no, like...
Clean and convenient.
Right? Like, there was not just the struggle, but, like, just... Like, after the struggle, you're burnt out, and you're tired. They just always seemed like they were all fresh.
Right.
And like, it's that, you know...
Like, you just got off a ride at Magic Mountain,
exactly.
And you're going on to the next one.
If you watch the original trilogy, you know, the Lord of the Rings, like, Frodo's just burnt. Like, you see him, like, wearing on him. And, like, as time goes, he's just getting more and more, like, the pressure's getting to him. He just looks beat and tired. And all of them do throughout the battles and everything. And you just don't feel it this way. It's just like, all right, where's the next one?
Yeah.
Like it's a bad D&D campaign. That's what it looks like. Yes, I just did reference D&D.
Yeah.
And again, I don't understand the love triangle. I don't understand... One of the things about The Hobbit that I loved, the book itself, was the riddles.
Oh.
The riddles and the songs.
Yeah.
And the entire book is layered with them. They left the songs out of The Lord of the Rings. Okay, cool. Saw the director's cut of the first Hobbit, they brought the songs in. I was happy with that. It's one of those times when you're just like, ah, fuck it, it's a musical, let it go.
Yeah.
You know? In this one, they brought some songs in, but they left the riddles out. The whole point of the spiders...
The best part...
Was the ring. The whole point
of
the ring
book.
Was him using the riddles.
The best part of the book to me is with the spiders.
Right.
It's gone. The spiders aren't even prevalent. Like, they're pointless.
No.
And it seems so, like, I was literally on the edge of my seat in the first movie, after seeing the first, I was like, oh, I can't wait for the spiders to come.
Right? The spiders.
Really?
I bought the freaking sword. I called it Sting. You know?
Like, that's it. They didn't even, like, it doesn't even reference.
No.
Sting getting it, like, oh, it's just, I'm so let down by that movie. It's hard to.
And then the riddles with Smaug. That was a letdown, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the whole point in the book. He thinks he knows that Bilbo is a lakeshoreman.
Yeah.
And that's why he goes and attacks Dale. That's why. Because he thinks Frodo deceived him because he's wearing the ring, he can't see him, he has these riddles, and he goes, no, in the movie he's like, oh, so you know Bard, oh, cool. Hey, look, a big chocolate troll that's made out of gold. I'm just going to go kill these guys, why not?
Yeah.
It took away the suspense. I didn't care. It's just
the thing that really irritates me the most about it. Unlike the first trilogy, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, is this doesn't make me want to go back and read the book. It makes me want to go back and read the book so I can read the proper story.
Now I want
to
go.
And I don't think it's going to bring new fans to the book. And I really like people reading is going away so quickly. It's sad. Which attributes to the dumbing down of society. And they get all their information off of TV and out of movies, and like, not to read classic books is ridiculous, and this doesn't make me want, like, if I wasn't familiar with the story, it wouldn't make me want to go read the book. Like, it wouldn't.
the anime was more informative than this. Ralph Bakshi did a better job than this.
Since I own those on VHS, yeah. They're awesome.
And the spider scene got more time in his 1 hour movie than it did in this 3 hour part two movie.
Yeah, definitely. I was thoroughly disappointed. Like, I loved the first movie so much. And to be so let down into a second movie, it's...
And the part where they had ended? Yeah. What is it with Peter Jackson and ending his movies with the main character looking far away? That's the cliffhanger in every single movie. And now, because of this, you know, I was looking... You say the spiders was your favorite part. Spiders is my favorite part, too, but the other favorite part is the Battle of Five Armies.
Right.
Granted, you don't really see it because Frodo passes out halfway through it and wakes up to the aftermath. Okay, but one of the redeeming qualities of the last Harry Potter was they had the Battle of the Five Armies there. You didn't see specific characters die, and it didn't give as much time as I needed it, but it fulfilled me until this movie is coming out. I want to see the Battle of the Five Armies. And I was hopeful because, you know, 3 hour movies that Peter Jackson puts out, Battle of Five Armies, 3 hour movie, fuck yeah, that's Braveheart, let's go.
Yeah.
You know? That's Return of the King. That's what Return of the King was. It was all a fight.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what I was hoping, I'm looking for. No. No, because where they left off, there's still more drama and more story to go on. And I have a feeling that Battle of Five Armies is going to take half an hour, 10 minutes. You know, there's not going to be anything.
There's not going to be the time that needs to be invested in it. Yeah.
And if it is, it's going to seem exactly like the Battle of Helm's Deep. You know, it's going to be that formulaic, and I'm just going to be upset about it.
Yeah.
I've gotten way too geeky on this part.
No, once again, it comes with, like, that's directly dealing, like, poking at your childhood.
Yeah.
I mean, plus, to take something, like I said, something that's so iconic, because honestly, the whole fantasy world we know today, the height of fantasy, role-playing games, video games, books, everything stems from The Hobbit. And to take that and just bastardize it, it's insulting. I mean, that's like literally walking up and slapping somebody's grandfather in the face. Like, that's pretty much what they
do. I've done that. It's just not as fun as it seems. But moving on from The Hobbit, one of the other things that's happening now in comics, have you guys been keeping up on comics at all?
No?
Okay.
Very little.
I read comics. I don't know that I read, like, you know, the shit that's coming out now.
I have found that I cannot really read Marvel or DC too much anymore. It just all seems too redundant and very monotonous. But one of the new things that's launching this year coming up is that DC is going all steampunk.
That could be good or bad.
I'm not a fan of steampunk.
We publish a steampunk book.
So?
Just saying.
Doesn't mean I won't support it. I'm just not a fan of steampunk. Like, I think, well, it's got to be done. I've seen it done right very little, and it's usually from reading novels. So
it's normally Warren Ellis that's doing it.
Right. But I'm not really familiar with a lot, like any comics and stuff. Like, it would have to be, I think they tend to... it's overused now. It's so popular.
Slap the gear on it.
Yeah, that's what it's come down to. It slaps some gears on it, and all of a sudden it's steampunk. And that just does, it feels...
It's not trying hard enough.
I'm worried that it's the new zombies.
Oh, that's going to be sad for me.
Those zombies are still pretty huge.
Well, I'm not saying that they're not. I'm
saying
it's that...
it's going to be everywhere.
Right, it's a new... So let's say, for example... superheroes and comic books are peanuts, okay? And so every year or so, you layer on zombies like they're chocolate over it, so you can have a different flavor of M&M. And so, you know, you get zombies, you get horror, you get villains, and this year it's steampunk, layered over that peanut. So you're taking the same shit and just dressing it up in something that's popular now and then putting it out and seeing if that'll sell.
Instead of making a worthwhile story on its own and...
But with something like, say, zombies, or even when they were doing the, what was it, like, the alternate universes, like, everybody went through that whole alternate universe.
It's still the 1952.
And, like, what if Russia won the Cold War, like, everybody went through that. Yeah, everybody went through that. Those are areas where you can do it and take the character concepts and just expound on. Steampunk doesn't, it doesn't really work for Superman. You know what I'm saying? If you have actual powers, the hell does steampunk have to do with
right.
it? Now, it works for Batman.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it works, which would I think would be interesting. But for something that's not...
Hey, you can have a steam Green Lantern.
Right.
How's the power ring work?
Yeah. If you're not technology... If it's
in darkest smoke and blackest steam, may my iron power my strength.
Exactly.
What the hell?
It's too convenient, and it's once again it's becoming lazy. That's just
lack
of original writing.
It's a gimmick instead of.
It'd be different if it was like a side story somewhere else, or like a spinoff.
Yeah,
right.
But the fact that they're doing this throughout the main universe of the story, I mean, they're taking a big chance.
Yeah, that's a difficult.
Yeah, I don't see it being interesting. I just don't like I said, Batman. I'd read any Batman. Let's be honest, but. The guy works off technology-based, you know. Okay, he uses equipment. Superman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman? What? How does that work?
I can't argue with Batman either, because a bunch of my friends, we all dressed up and we went to Labyrinth of Jareth as steampunk Batman, Joker, Harley, etc. So.
But see, I can see
that. But it works for that.
That works, but
so there's already a character in Duel of Dead.
Exactly.
Right.
Who is awesome. I looked up her up later, and I was like, holy crap.
But I mean, there's a chance. I mean, but just it's similar when they did the Marvel did that noir,
Marvel noir thing. Yes,
it works for some characters. It doesn't work for others. So I mean, I think it's a huge chance, especially going through the main universe. I don't find it that interesting on a large scale. Maybe a little bit, but then again, New 52. Like I was reading every book that first came out and was immediately bored by 90% of them. So
yeah, I'm not yeah. Screw the New 52.
Yeah.
Except for Talon. The whole Talon series, Court of Owls series was amazing.
I like Batman and Robin.
I did not like Damian dying. I was not happy about that.
I was not happy with Damian dying either, but once again, you know.
I am reading Son of Damian, or Damian Son of the Bat, and that series is freaking awesome. It's a new series. It's only on issue 3, and what it is if you remember, I think it was Batman 300, or one of the ones where Grant Morrison wrote it, where it flashes forward, and Batman is wearing a trench coat, and he's killing, and it's Damian. So this story is how he became that Batman.
Oh.
And I love it. Love every second of it.
He looks like I'm going to have dad. That's the pull list.
He's murdering and killing people, and Bruce Wayne is not happy about it.
That's the way Batman should be.
Right. Unlike Superman. So with that, we've seen also a new resurgence in some television shows come out. Have you been watching Arrow?
Yes.
No.
I actually just recently sat through and watched season 1 and 2 of Arrow. And after the third episode, I was impressed. First 3 episodes dragged. But it's a good show. It's everything Smallville wasn't. It's everything I wanted Smallville to be.
Oh,
like
Smallville.
It starts off killing people. So.
I think
okay, well that works.
Right. Yeah. And plus the problem with Smallville, my biggest problem with Smallville is anytime they brought in cameo characters or special guests, they would completely change that character, and they're absolutely nothing like the way they, even resembling the character that you're used to. Arrow does not do that. Deathstroke is amazing in Arrow.
So they stay true.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, they may not
have different backgrounds and different stories, but I mean, the characters, what makes the character the character?
True spirit of
right.
The character. Okay.
You know, Oliver Queen is vengeance, Deathstroke is just a killing machine, Flash is dorky and innocent, you know, Dr. Voodoo, Brother Voodoo out there. It still keeps to who they are.
Yes.
Whether
the
changes their background or not, they're still their
character. The character's still there. And the whole thing, I like the metamorphosis of Oliver Queen from being that vengeful to being the justice,
right.
You know. And you see it in the character, and he plays the character very well.
I'd like him to shave every now and then. And keep his shirt on.
I just wanted, right, does the guy ever wear a shirt? Like, holy crap, I've never seen a half-naked man so much in my life. I don't even take my clothes off for me that often. A guy never wears a freaking shirt. But that might be...
Richard's naked now, by the way.
I am. That might be...
We have to be comfortable for this podcast. It's
right.
Very important.
So I've got 5 layers of clothes and you guys are naked.
I have socks on. That might be why there's so much popularity in it, because the guy never wears a shirt and he, you know, the girls
so
and whatever.
So you have to give something to the ladies.
Well, see, I think because Smallville was high school and teeny bopper and more for the girls, the ladies, so... He had that. Now this one, he's able to keep his character and his vengeance and the violence and the action, and even some of the characters around him. Granted, you know, Speedy and the other guy could be a little less Abercrombie and Finch.
Right.
But, you know, they're still gritty for the guys to enjoy and shirtless for the girls to enjoy. So that feels all.
I do like how he did poke fun at.
Have you seen how much I work out?
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of, you know, that was a little tongue in cheek there. That was a little funny little poke at the whole thing. But
the line was like, you know, what are you not strong enough to do this? And he looks at the guy, like, have you seen how much I work out?
Nice.
Because the guy is constantly working out because that's why he's shirtless. Yes.
Okay.
So, and every episode you get to see him work out at least once.
It's like the montage, the 80s montage.
It's like makes everybody feel guilty for not going to the gym.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Makes you want to put down those chips.
No, it doesn't.
Now, do you think they took a cue from Young Justice as far as violence in adulthood?
Maybe. I think they just maybe wanted to go where, like I said, where Smallville didn't. They probably wanted to take it to another level, like... without even your more violent fanboy shows, a lot of them don't tend to be super violent. You know, I'm sure, you know, like I was a huge Buffy fan. Most of the really interesting shows, episodes of Buffy tended to be the more violent ones, you know, or dramatic, like very heavy on either one. And I think that works in general as a formula for television in general.
Or the ones with Nate Fillion.
Right.
Nathan Fillion makes everything better.
Or Puppet Angel.
Puppet Angel is awesome. I own Puppet Angel.
Puppet Angel is fantastic.
That was amazing.
You don't know who Puppet Angel is? You need to watch Angel. There's an episode where Spike and Angel turn into puppets.
Okay, so, it's the first season of Angel, right? There's that one dude who's my favorite character with all the spikes all over him. And then they killed him off. And I said,
Doyle? You know what I mean?
He was sick or had
alcoholic.
Cancer. Oh, okay. Well, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I don't care. They killed him, and then I said, fuck you guys. I'm not watching your show anymore.
But Puppet Angel is awesome.
I know. I need to finish watching Buffy, too. I just hate Sarah Michelle Gellar so much. I've never been able to finish the
You can watch Angel without Buffy.
I can, but I love Whedon enough that I need to finish both.
I constantly watch both series. Like I go through.
Well, they're on TNT when I.
Well, I own the DVDs. Like I constantly, like I'll go through and Smallville because I have a soft spot for Smallville, no matter how cheesy it was.
I love it too. I never finished that either.
Yeah, that's my dirty little secret.
I'm a big Stargate fan. Big fan
the
of
original Stargate, right?
All of them. I'm a big fan of all of them.
I never watched it.
I hate anything entitled Stargate.
But
no.
But Michael Shanks was one of my favorite characters in action. So when he showed up as Hawkman in Smallville, an episode written by Jeff Loeb, I was all over it.
That actually, him being
and
Hawkman,
Dr. Fate,
him being Hawkman was probably the best guest spot, you know, on Smallville
until he became Indiana Jones. But anyway. He became an archaeologist. His character became an archaeologist later on down the road.
Anything's
better as Hawkman.
Anything's better than Smoke Darkseid.
Right? No. That was Smoke Galactus. And Smoke Darkseid.
Yeah, well, I totally forgot about Smoke Galactus. Yeah, that was pretty horrible, too.
Galactus Smoke and Smoke Absorbing Man.
From the Angry Hulk. Makes sense for Absorbing Man, though.
No. But, so you've seen Arrow coming up. Now, speaking of Joss Whedon, Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I stopped at episode 4 and was just, I felt my intelligence being sapped from me. It was just bad. Just really bad. I have nothing positive to say about it. I might go through and try to rewatch them, but I just... Once again, I could.
Won't
I just
make it any better.
Yeah, I couldn't. I couldn't bring myself to do it. It was just bad.
Have you seen it?
No.
I watch it every week. I don't want to, but I feel that if I don't, then Joss Whedon will lose a job, and I don't want him to lose any work.
See, I've been buying Whedon things. Like I bought the Dollhouse comic, and I bought all the Serenity comics, but meh. And I've been subjecting other people to watching Dollhouse because it's very important to share the Whedon.
Dollhouse is amazing on top of it.
Did you know there was a comic?
No, mm-hmm. I did not.
It's quite good. I should have brought it with me, yeah. Uh-huh.
And Buffy season 8 and 9, Angel
those.
Season
I have
6
those.
And 7.
Yeah,
I have those.
The Angel ones aren't that great.
No. The first Angel one is really cool, though, because it continues right there.
Right, where he's riding the dragon
just,
throughout the
I
town.
I just wanted
Hollywood,
to see the
yeah.
the dragon. Honestly,
yeah.
that's all. Because the way it ended...
I get the dragon.
That was like the best part of it for me, but
the
I did not know. I'm a huge fan of Dollhouse.
They did a one
Dollhouse.
Shot, and then they did a 5-issue miniseries, and they put it into a trade. So I just bought it on Amazon.
Are we buying that?
It's
soon
pretty
as we get
decent.
Home, or right
I enjoyed
now.
It. You're like, I'm gonna do it right now.
As we speak.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, it's a good show. It has potential to be a good show, but when you have a crew in the Marvel universe, in the Shield universe, where three of them are nerds and useless in the field.
One you're of them useless, AJ. That's rude.
No, he said nerds and useless.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
They were the
they can't fight. How about that? They can't fight.
Okay.
So you got three of them constantly being protected by two other people and Coulson.
So basically they're shooting themselves in the foot every single
right.
day. Right. Okay.
And I'm not... It just doesn't work. You know, even the A-team, even Murdoch threw a punch every now and then. Even Face threw a punch every now and then. You know, it wasn't always B.A. and frickin' Hannibal.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys, they don't. They run and cower and hide, and there's no use for them.
Well, that's the other thing. For the A-team, they use their skills in other ways to accomplish.
Right.
They didn't have to throw a punch sometimes because they would use their skills.
Xander lost his fucking eye. He was the most useless character in Buffy at all, and he lost his eye fighting. Okay? These guys don't
fight. You know
what?
on the last season, Xander became one of the coolest characters.
Xander was the man! Because he finally stepped up. And
yeah.
They don't. They do nothing. They, you know, they have equipment that I want.
You're like, give me your stuff.
You know, the girls are kind of hot, but I don't care about them enough. And then the villains I don't care about either. They brought back J. August Richards, and they're using a storyline that they carried on from Iron Man 3. I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah.
It's too plastic and generic and safe. And they need to get edgy. They need to bring a mainstream villain. You know, if they could have possibly brought in Loki and had him be the villain behind the scenes throughout the whole season, you know, even if you only see him like an episode or two, like they did in Smallville.
Yeah.
But you knew he was there and he was coming. That would make me more excited to watch the show.
Yeah.
I have no reason to watch the show because it's the villain of the week. And it's just, I keep
yeah.
watching it out of habit because I'm loyal to Whedon, but I don't enjoy it.
That's the other thing is, like, I really hate, like, that's one thing I didn't like about Smallville was the
did you just buy the Dollhouse trade?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
See? I have information that's important.
But the Smallville did the villain of the week thing and the powers of the week and all of them were related to, you know,
him never flying.
Night and him never flying and kids touching other kids and stuff like that. And it's, like, really, there is no edge-of-your-seat moment, and if there's not that, I'm not going to watch it.
Right.
I can miss a few episodes and come back. You know, I'm a huge fan of Supernatural. In the last three seasons, they have a main storyline. About halfway, no, quarter way through the season, they totally forget about it. So here's a bunch of random episodes. Where's it? At least tease the main storyline.
I think with shows like this, they need to take a cue from the BBC and other shows out there where 12-episode seasons.
Yes.
I think a 12-episode season will keep us enthralled long enough to pay attention to everything and care.
Yeah.
But I've got 24 episodes to look forward in this mire of shit that I've got to weed through.
And it's all just
and
crap.
It's nothing I care about. You know, I've got to wait till episode 16 before I care about the rest of the season. It's ridiculous.
Or what is it, like a 6-episode season or 4?
Or
what is Sherlock?
You only get 3.
Yeah,
3.
Right.
You
but those are heavy. Those are 90-minute heavy episodes.
Perfect. And they put everything into it.
Right. I mean, or you get like Southland, which is only 6 episodes a season.
Right.
But that's an awesome show to put in 6 episodes.
But you know what? Honestly, like with Sherlock that we've talked about, if it was any longer than that, I couldn't take it.
Like
each
like
episode
movie,
is
each
so
one.
Heavy.
Yeah, I've got through the first 2 episodes,
but
and I've never watched another one.
Either. So
no,
like,
no.
Don't drag
it's,
on.
Everyone's like a movie, but like it's just, they're so heavy.
Right.
There's so much going on.
Deep.
But that's amazing. Like that's, if you're only going to do 3 episodes a season, that's the way to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
However, they shouldn't be like $40 for 3 episode DVDs. I'm just saying.
I'm also a big fan of, oh crap, I forgot what I was going to say. I hate you guys. Elementary. I love the show Elementary.
I haven't watched that one.
I have not watched that either.
Luther.
Luther's,
I
need
to
watch
Luther.
That.
Luther's
that's on my Netflix
amazing.
Too.
That's Idris Elba at his best, in my opinion.
Yeah, that is an amazing, amazing show. Once again, not quite as long episodes, but very
heavy. No, I mean, they're like 4 to 5 episodes a season.
Each episode is very heavy.
Yeah,
very
one season was like 3 episodes.
And you watch, like, honestly, you watch one episode of that show and you feel physically drained.
Yeah.
Like, it's not one of those shows you could sit there and watch the entire season, like, back to back to back to back. You got to take breaks.
Speaking of which, we've been going on for about 40 minutes now. Why don't we go ahead and take a quick break? When we come back, we're going to catch up on what FP has been doing.
Guys, this is Daniel Corey. I'm the founder of Danger Cat Creative Studio, and I want to tell you real quick about my upcoming comic, Moriarty, The Dark Chamber. It's about Professor Moriarty, the arch nemesis of Sherlock Holmes, working with artist Anthony Diachidua on it, letterer Dave Lampier. Please go to dangercat.com and check it out. That's DANGERKATT.com. And please go over to kickstarter.com. We're running a campaign right now to try to raise funds for the production of the book. So, you know, shoot us an email, let us know how you like it, and we'll see you on the web.
And welcome back. We've been joined by Cameron and Cricket. So in this segment, we're going to talk about stuff that we've been doing with the past year. So I guess it's kind of important to talk to Cricket here, the winner of the 2013 Inland Empire Zombie Beauty Pageant. Hi, Cricket.
Hi.
Tell us about your experience with the beauty pageant.
Oh, other than me being so nervous, I thought I was going to die. It was pretty awesome. It was pretty amazing. I had no idea I would actually win, so I was really, really excited.
Tell us about your character.
My character's name is Myra Maines, and she's an old-school zombie from the 1940s, ventriloquist. She doesn't like it when her dolls don't behave. So when mine didn't behave on stage, I had to rip his spine out. That was pretty cool. I think the audience enjoyed it.
Obviously, because you won.
Yeah, because I won.
Now, this was your first time competing, right?
It was. It was my first time competing in anything like this. So, yeah.
And what got you to do it?
Watching the first 2 years, watching how much fun everybody had, and just, I don't know, I just wanted to be a part of it.
And when you got on stage, did you realize they lied? It was not fun at all.
It was fun. It was just really nerve-wracking. Like, I think after the initial dance, when I totally messed up, I don't know, after that, I was nervous, but every time I went out on stage, I felt more relaxed and more relaxed. So by the end, I was just hamming it up.
Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, we run Inland Empire Zombie Beauty Pageant. This past year was our third one. Each year we seem to get bigger and bigger, and it's a lot of fun. It's one of the big events that we actually get to put on. Now, you had your makeup done by your husband, Cameron, who's sitting right here.
Hello.
What was it like? Tell me about the process of getting her made up, and then what you felt like when you were told a secret.
What secret?
That I won, didn't I?
Oh, well. Honestly.
See how good of a secret it was? Can you remember?
I'll get back to the makeup part. When I found out the secret that my wife had won before anybody else had, I think I was standing right next to you, and you and I were both feeling the same way. A little bit of tears welling up. I was so excited for her. I don't know. Because at first I was like, okay, she was up there having a great old time, and I was just proud of her getting up there and doing it. And when I realized that, yeah, she won the audience over, I was overwhelmed with pride. But yeah, it was pretty damn cool. I did well up. I shed over
now,
happy tear for
it. Was it pride because it was your wife, or pride because of your makeup, or a little both?
Honestly, didn't have anything to do with the makeup. I was very happy for her because it was something big that she had never done before, and she wanted to get up and finally do something like that. So watching her up there, never breaking character, it was, I don't know. I'm very proud of her, just for taking that extra step and getting out of her shell and doing something like that. So crazy for her. And I think since she's been with me, she's been able to get into more of the horror and express and the stuff that she did like before, but never got the chance to really go out and do it. And now, you know, having a husband that does the makeup, it makes it a little more easy and accessible for her too.
On that note, like after she had won and we were doing photos and I was trying to bring everybody in the back, the funny part was I was like, okay, Cricket, we need to go back here and take pictures. And she looked at me still with that grin like, can I get out of character now? I almost wanted to be like, no.
She barely broke character backstage, too. She was just trying to stay in that mode.
Hey, I'm a method actress, okay?
Yeah.
Now, again, going back to the makeup, though.
Makeup was a little easier because living with her, I had an idea as to, you know, from beginning to end what she wanted. So, and looking at pictures that she'd find, she'd, I want this and this and this, and then put them all together. And I want this little bit of a look. This, and, but the whole time doing the makeup, I'm like, so how are you going to act? What are you going to do? I don't know yet. She didn't know until she walked out that door. But the makeup was a lot easier. We also got a practice run, which when I do makeup for a lot of the other girls in the past couple pageants, I didn't get a chance to do a pre-run. But a few of them I made pre-made prosthetics and just glued them on the day of. But with her, I got a chance to work it out, work the kinks out that day. I think I nailed it that day. First run we did, it turned out all right, but it wasn't the right shade, the colors and stuff, and that day was perfect. So, yeah.
A question that's come up, and I don't honestly see that being a problem, but I had to bring it up. Do you think that cricket had a leg up on the competition because of your involvement in FP and the fact that you were able to practice under makeup ahead of time instead of the other girls' makeups that you were doing?
No. Now the other girls had 2 years of experience. If they wanted to, they had plenty of time to make up their own characters.
Or find a different makeup artist.
They could have done whatever, but they came to me and said, this is what I want. And they even sent me pictures this time around, so I think they had just as much as my wife did.
Oh, yeah.
Except me living with her just gave me a little more open time and hands-on.
We only practiced it once before.
So, I don't think so.
And would you say you put in as much time and effort into everybody else's makeup as you did with hers?
Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to get more time to do Rissy's, but she surprised me, showed up with practically everything done. I just made a few prosthetics for her, or one prosthetic for her, and helped her touch up some stuff throughout the show. But this was the first time I did makeup that wasn't really gooey. I kind of liked that.
Well,
that
I was going to say, I think that may have been the one advantage you had, because say what you will about your involvement with FP, at the end of the day, we are not allowed to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We can't cast a vote on who wins or who doesn't, whether we want them to or not. But I think the one leg up you did have is that you went classic as opposed to gory and fresh.
That was my whole idea. I wanted to do something different. Seeing the pageant 2 years prior, every girl came out almost the same. You know, gory, gooey, new, bloody zombie. And no one had done a classic black and white type zombie. And I wanted to do like a Romero homage type zombie. And I think I pulled it off well. And as far as my husband doing my makeup and having, you know, the quote unquote leg up, I don't mean to sound, I don't want to come across like conceited or anything, but it's not just the makeup that won the pageant.
Yeah.
You know, if it was just us getting made up and going up there and standing there, then maybe that would have something to do with it. But I think I got into my character and I never broke character. I don't know, I think I sold it. I think my talent was the most thought out. I think that just all together, you know, like it was every aspect. I don't think it was just my makeup.
That's one of the things I want. Like I know a lot of people were complaining about it or had issues with it, but we had so many rehearsals only to give you guys that opportunity to figure out what you're going to do, because it'd be different if you were doing it on screen, if we were filming this and that's how they got to vote. Because I think at that point you would have been able to zoom in and see in the more blood and more detail and all that stuff. But with all these rehearsals, you guys actually had a chance to figure out your talent, embellish in your character and grow that character and let it come off on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Had it been the day of, you know, no rehearsals, anything like that, maybe there may have been a difference. But I honestly don't think so. I think everybody had an equal opportunity of time to put forth their 110% best and learn how to put forward that stuff. And at the end of the day, you won the vote.
You give them how much time? Several months in advance to come up with something.
Right. And it's not, again, I'm not trying to, you know, defend myself or do anything like that. I'm just trying to say these are the reasons why we do these things, to give everybody an equal chance to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, no offense, was not voting for you, not because I don't love you or thought you were great, but I had other favorites in the show. When you won, I was absolutely enthusiastic that you did win, because I look at you and I say, fuck, we got a girl that's going to work. But, you know, I was just happy for you and happy that the numbers that came out all I cared about was that we put on a good show and that everybody in the house was happy. And at the end of the day, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for that, I thank you and all the other contestants that busted their ass and kicked ass on the show. I'm very happy and proud that you won, and can't wait to see what you have coming forward. Now with Rosie, having done the show before and you were backstage a little bit, were you able to help out any of the other contestants with any advice or anything like that?
I feel that I was. I helped Cricket anyway. I helped Cricket calm down and let her know she was doing an awesome job, and a lot of the other girls had done it before, so maybe didn't need quite as much attention or encouragement, because they already knew what they were doing, or they already, you know, felt really strongly about what they were doing. I mean, everybody's still nervous, because when I was back there, no matter how often I'd been up in front of anybody, you're nervous as hell when you have to go stand in front of a whole room full of people and lights and everything.
I only have to do it for 5 minutes one time, and I'm freaking out the entire time.
Right, yeah.
I was trembling.
Oh, my God. Oh. But I getting to go to the rehearsals and stuff, there were two girls that I was, like, kind of rooting for at the beginning, and then when I found out Cricket was involved, I was like, oh, now I'm torn even more. And then when I saw your talent, the first time you did the talent during the rehearsal, I was like, oh, well, nope, I'm sold. I was like, ah, no.
Even during the rehearsal,
the first
like, oh,
time.
That's cool.
That's what it was. I was just like, that, you put so much thought into that. You made it like that's what a zombie's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be like bells and whistles. It's supposed to scare the shit out of you. You're supposed to be like, oh, don't go near that girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I was trying to, like, that was what I wanted to come across the most, was I didn't want to be gory or bloody scary. I wanted to be creep you out scary. Like,
yeah,
so
the best
the,
compliment I
you
got.
You were the only one that was there that was creepy.
And
like,
yeah,
there was one point where
zombies that couldn't run creepy.
Like,
yeah.
I was standing by the stairs at one point, and you were coming off the stage and walking towards the back where everybody, right about where everybody would lose character. And I turned back and looked, and it creeped me out for a second. I don't get creeped out at all. I find most horror movies hilarious. That creeped me out for a hot second. I was like, whoa. Just
yeah.
Because you stayed in character going out the door,
yeah,
which nobody does.
Honestly, it kind of pissed me off at one point, because you were coming out, and I believe it was a swimsuit competition, and you came out. And I went up and I was like, good luck out there. And you didn't even acknowledge me. You were in character and gone. I was like, well, fuck you then. I was just trying to be nice. Damn. And I was doing that to everybody because I was
yeah.
trying to, you know, like, just give everyone the encouragement.
Yeah.
And I did it. And you just stiff-legged and walked out. I'm like, fuck you, bitch. Hope
yeah,
you.
I didn't even realize that was you. I was so nervous that I blocked everything.
Oh, and that's
really
good.
Did.
That's a good thing.
I was terrified to get out there.
But
and
you
were
also
so
having a great time scaring the crap out of a lot of kids that were
well,
out there.
Well, there was a lot of people, like, people, when you're walking, like, myself, when I'm walking girls down the aisle, or you're walking girls through the crowd, people are, like, reaching out and laughing and taking pictures, and you could see when Cricket was coming down, they were pushing back,
and
they were still taking pictures, but it was close to their chest, and they were, like, leaning back in their chairs.
Yep.
Like, she had that general creepiness that was nobody else had. Like,
yeah.
There's a difference between gory and scary and just creepy, because creepy, like, that gets chills you to the bones.
That's
like,
what I wanted.
And that's the best. True horror is creepy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got to scare you. It doesn't just have to look good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with Richard, you being in the back, not actually on stage or anything, what did you think of the show and how it came out?
That was amazing. It was this actually last year. I didn't get to see it because I spent most of my time in the alley,
mm-hmm.
standing by the stairs and
pimping
watching
yourself out.
Yeah, and watching actually being able to watch the show or see most of the girls' talents and stuff. It was amazing. And for that little bit that the ZKS crew got on stage, when I looked out, I leaned over to Martin. I was like, holy crap, there's a lot of people here. Like, I was speechless for a second. And I don't get stage fright. I've wrestled in front of 1,500 people. But seeing that amount of people, it sends chills down your spine, because they're there specifically to see something that we're all working our butts off on. Like,
yeah.
it was really cool. And then we had our little introduction and video, which was kind of cool, you know. And it was a great time. And like I said, seeing the show, it was so much more than it was the year before. So better produced, like the production value. The girls did so much better. The makeup was better. Like, everything about the show was better.
It was awesome.
Third time's a charm.
Which is why it's standing room only, because.
And this was the first time that you didn't compete.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
And how'd that do for you?
It was a lot of fun getting to be on the other side. When I was in, I was nervous as hell when I was a contestant. I had a blast, but it's scary. And getting to be on the other side and helping the contestants out and walking them up and, like, being encouraging instead of trapped in that nervous bubble the whole time was a cool, different experience. And it was a lot of fun, and I think that's probably where I'm going to stick for the next couple of years.
Well, you are an awesome ZKS soldier.
Well, thank you very much.
And you helped me calm, because there was times I didn't know if I was going to even be able to walk out on the stage the first time. So I was glad.
You were also very, very detrimental. I mean, even if you weren't on competing this year, because of you and the other efforts of the returning contestants, you built the show up to where it's at. It's because of you. Especially last year, we did something different with you.
Yeah.
And that we had you bit and turned
throughout
the show.
We got to do a little show at the beginning, yeah.
Right, so every time you came out, you were rotting away. And
yeah,
more
Cameron
and more.
Would do me up
more.
A little bit more.
Right.
So,
it's stuff like that and your interaction that we had such a successful year. So being on the other side, you know, it's kind of like a little award.
I've evolved. I got to go from... I got second place the first year, and then I got to just kind of...
Enjoy
I don't know.
The show last
half.
Time.
Well, yeah, and then last year I did not last year 2013, but the second year I got to do half and half. I got to do my ZKS bit at the beginning, and then slowly degrade as a zombie throughout the course of the show, which meant that I didn't have to do the dance number, which I was very happy about, because you mentioned that you messed up the dance number. My first year, I felt like a monkey with, like, three left feet.
That's how I felt.
I was like, everybody knows what they're doing except me. I look like an idiot up here. I hope nobody is looking
at
me.
That's what we kept telling all the girls. I said, don't worry about messing up the dance because you're a zombie. You're dead. You're not going to
mess up like a zombie. It's all right.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel any better, though. You're still like, oh, my God,
you're
totally
still
did the wrong thing.
I clapped when I was supposed to stop.
It still came out amazing, though. Like, it was just watching
it was beautiful.
I sat there every year. I sit there and I watch the show and I hear how quiet everybody is, and I get scared because I think, oh fuck, failure, screw it, we're done. But you know, I look out and it's all because they're like
mesmerized.
I mean mouth open, I guess you see me. But this year, you know, it was nice for me as the director to be able to actually sit back and watch this year. I didn't have to be as proactive. So I sat in the chair and I watched, and while you guys were dancing, and it was quiet, and the first time you guys did, like, you came out on the walkway and then did a turn, and the crowd erupted.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even realize that at the time, but they erupted and I started crying. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. Oh my God. I need a cigarette. But the reaction this year alone just was amazing. So I thought it was fantastic. So watching it 2 years, now you've been on stage and you've won. What are you going to do now?
Oh boy, I don't know. I'm still thinking about everything that we have to do this coming year. You know, this for 2014, we have so many events, and I'm
so
excited.
Get to do.
Yeah, get to do. Like, I know, like, I'm really excited about all of the events that we get to do, and I'm not even thinking about next year yet, like the next pageant or what comes after. I'm just going to enjoy this first. I do have to say, though, you were talking about audience reaction and everything. I think that was my favorite part of the whole pageant, was when I was on stage and I did my talent portion, and as soon as I ripped the little boy's spine out, I looked up and the whole audience jumped back like this. Like,
yes.
You could see them physically go backwards in their seats, and that was awesome. That was the best. That was like the best
the
reaction.
The claps and screams and the disgust all mixed in was just
awesome.
And it was all from your friend Jennifer. That little girl was the loudest thing in the entire game. Loudest person in there.
Yeah,
scared my parents.
Honestly, just in general, the crowd reactions to everything was amazing. Like, the crowd was just so into it. Like, even when they introduced the ZKS members, and they just went through our little bio and said our character, I think they really cheered the hell out of us. It's not like we were going up there and performing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were just walking girls through the aisles. Like, but they were into everything we did. Like, it was really amazing. Like, the crowd was amazing.
Real quick, there was a couple that showed up 2 hours before the show started. And we're going to say goodbye to Rosie at this point. Thank you for joining us, Rosie.
Bye, Rosie.
Bye, Rosie.
See you later.
There was a couple that showed up at 4:30, 2 hours before the event, and they were sitting there in the sun baking, wanting to be the first ones in. If you're listening to this show, please get a hold of me. I got some free shit for you, because I think that was just awesome. You guys were sitting there for 2 hours just waiting there.
That was cool.
It was also very freaky, because I've never had anybody wait 2 hours for anything I was doing before in my life, except, you know, to fail. Which didn't take 2 hours. So, yeah, if you're listening, shoot me an email. I got some free stuff for you, because I thought that was awesome. Getting crowned, what were your thoughts going through your head?
I was in such shock, I had no idea. Because the thing I think a lot of people don't realize, if you're listening to this podcast, we as contestants didn't get to see what the other girls were doing throughout the entire show. So I had no idea what the crowd's reaction was to me as compared to any of the other contestants. So I didn't know if I was doing good or bad or indifferent. I had no idea. So when Dave said my remains as one of the finalists, I was in shock. Like, I can't wait to see the video, because I know I took a step forward and then I looked over at Dave to make sure. In my mind I was going, okay, wait, did he really just say my name, or am I just stepping out looking like an idiot? So, but when it came down, it was me and Pauline. I couldn't believe it. And then when he said my name as the winner, I was in total shock. I don't even know how to describe it. It was just, I was happy. I was very, very happy. But I was really shocked. Like, it took me a couple of days for it to sink in that I actually won.
Well, she was glowing, though.
she was glowing for weeks after. But I was just happy to even see her up there standing next to Pauline, too. Because, you know, we've worked with Pauline for so long. And I was like, okay, she's there, finally. Well, she's got it. I'm just happy my wife's right next to her. That's just cool. And surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
No idea.
I know, as nervous as I was, and with this being the first time I've ever done anything like that, I honestly didn't expect to win. I know I definitely gave it all that I had. I wanted to come up with a good character and, you know, have a good talent and all of that, but I honestly didn't expect to win. So I was really, really excited.
Now, going into it, when you looked around at the other girls in the locker room, who did you think was going to be your biggest competition?
Definitely Pauline. I think with her having 2 years experience and her having, she had a lot of help. She had really good makeup. She had, everything was good. We didn't know what each other's talents were, though, basically. Like, we had a little bit of an idea from rehearsal, but none of us ever really gave anything away to the other girls, so I honestly didn't know. Just by looking at the makeup, I thought that Pauline and Rissy were both really, really good. And I don't know. I was just waiting until the end to find out the winner, and I wasn't expecting it to be me. But I'm glad it was.
None of you guys got to see any of the makeup until you guys were ready to go on stage, too.
Yeah.
Nobody even had any idea what they were going to be looking like. I mean, as you as to the other girls, nobody knew.
Well, and like I said, I still don't even know, like, I don't know all the other girls' talents still, because we didn't get to see it, and I don't know, like, really what their zombie walk was like, or what they, you know, how their whole character was pulled off, because we didn't get to see each other. Mm-hmm. So I'm really anxious for the DVD so I can see the whole thing.
My favorite part of your talent was Cameron throwing Jesse over his shoulder and walking over. That poor kid ragdolled all over the place.
That one snapshot that somebody had of me with my hand right
there.
I have to say,
he did great.
He was fantastic. And at first, when I first came up with my talent, I was going to use a doll, and then I wanted it to be gross and creepy, so we decided to use a real kid, and that kid, Jesse, he's fantastic. He did everything that I wanted him to do. He fell. I couldn't have asked for him to fall any more perfectly than he did. So I attribute half my crown belongs to that kid because he helped me get it. So
I got to give him some mad props too for actually getting those contacts finally in his eyes.
Oh yeah,
I took him upstairs in the bathroom and I literally had to put them, my fingers and lens, in his eyeballs. Took us half hour to get those things in. He's like, I don't know if I can do this. It just hurts so much. I'm like, you get used to it. You can do it. Do it for Mama Cricket. He's like, okay. And I just held him down and stuck him right in. And even the whole time he's all, I can't see. I'm like, that's the way it's supposed to be. The peripheral is going to be foggy.
You don't need to see. You're in on the
He's all, okay, I'll do it. So that kid suffered a little bit for you.
He did, and I appreciate it more than I could. He knows.
Well, all right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to focus on some of the stuff that Richard and Myra will be doing coming up forward. But before we go, why don't you tell us a little bit about what it was like getting sponsors and how they reacted to you winning?
Well, getting the whole idea of getting a sponsor I thought was brilliant because it takes money. You know, you have to buy costumes, you have to purchase makeup. The makeup is not cheap. Because I wanted to look like an older zombie from the 40s, I had to go out and find outfits, you know, that would go with that, and those weren't exactly cheap, so finding someone to sponsor us was a really great idea. I got really lucky. I happened to be with a friend who was getting tattooed by Aaron Funk over at Tattoo Revolution, and I just asked him. I was like, hey, I'm doing this zombie thing. Like, the first year's winner, Brianna, she's friends with Aaron Funk, and I was like, remember a few years ago when Brianna did it, blah, 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 I'm doing it. And he's like, yeah, I'll totally sponsor you. So I didn't have to search real hard. I just asked, and he was down, and he and his fiance came, and they had a blast. He said that from here on out, anything else that I need to be sponsored for, he's down. So I feel fortunate for that. And when I won, he blasted me all over Facebook and all over Instagram, and he was so proud. There's he has a signed poster of me framed hanging in the tattoo shop. He gave me $400 worth of tattoo work that he's going to do on me personally, so I couldn't have asked for a better sponsor. It was pretty rad.
Awesome. All right, well, we'll go ahead and take a quick break and be right back.
Hi, I'm a chick, and I read comic books and play video games, and yes, I am attractive. And whenever I need new information, I head over to Forbidden Panel and look for new geeks to seduce. And sorry.
And we're back. Hello. Things have mellowed out.
It's a little creepy.
I feel like the DJ on Warriors.
99 cents.
Hey, boys.
$5.
Just to shut up.
Right.
So real quick, we just want to pop over and talk to Richard, as he coughs everywhere. You're going to have a new column coming out. Want to tell us what it's about?
Basically, I'm going to do short stories about my characters in the ZKS, which are of myself, based on myself and my buddy James, which are the Bash Brothers. And it's basically going to be short stories of their introduction to ZKS. So they're them surviving and journeying to where before they eventually join the ZKS group. And it's just it's an idea I started off as it was going to be a comic book series, and then it became more of a novel, and I figured I might as well just do it in short stories, and I don't have to look for an artist or draw it myself because I'm way too lazy to draw right now. So it's basically going to be an ongoing series of their journeys in a zombie apocalypse, or after, what is it, 3 years into the zombie apocalypse, and until they eventually meet up with, and it's going to give background because the characters in general are very close to the chest. That's the way I designed them. They're both, they don't really talk a lot about their past, and there's a reason for it. There's a very checkered reason for it, and I think I plan on slowly divulging that, and I think it's an interesting story. I find it interesting. It's my idea, so I guess I'm biased, but I just hope people will enjoy the idea behind it. So,
and then also you're going to be joining us more on the podcast with some wrestling news, right?
Yeah, if there's anything in this world I know, it's wrestling, so... Yeah, I'm gonna be bringing up stuff that's going on in the world of wrestling and just general thoughts on the state of what used to be my favorite form of entertainment that has really gone downhill.
Much like comics.
And porn.
You know, porn's still up there pretty well.
You know what? Let's bring Cricket over here closer. I don't have to reach across and talk to her. You have got a new column that you're going to be putting up.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
I'm putting up a column based on my Zombie Queen character, Myra Mains. She's a lady, so I thought we should have an advice column. So I'm going to have people email me problems or questions or, you know, anything they have that they think Myra can answer, and I'll have them email me, and I'll answer one or two a week on the column. I think it should be fun.
Any type of subject matter, any topic, just anything in general?
Anything that people want advice on, whether if it's like etiquette or relationships or, I don't know, anything basically. I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of questions I do get, and then I'll just answer them like a zombie lady would answer them.
A proper zombie lady.
So instead of brains, you'd be like, brains.
Exactly. Brains with your pinky out. Brains.
That sounds cool. I got nothing else. I look forward to seeing that. We're going to have that up there pretty soon. Cam? Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi.
You working on anything?
Currently, no. I have a few securities that are kind of sitting on the shelf. Just a matter of lighting a fire under my butt to get on them again. But there's a few out there. Get online and check out the security webcomic. How many do we have up there now? Four?
Five.
Four or five, something
six
like that? Yeah.
Million.
I've done,
45.
I don't know, half of them at least that are up, I think.
That's adamiswatching.com.
Yes. It's been so long since I've even looked at it now. I'm not posting any of my new stuff. Okay.
So, yeah. We got WonderCon coming up.
Yay!
And a bunch of other little shows we're going to be doing in the meantime. We recently went out to Claremont. How did you enjoy doing Claremont there?
Claremont was fun. It was small, but it was fun for my first event as Zombie Queen. Helped me get a feel for doing that sort of thing, being around people and getting my picture taken and that kind of thing. It got me. This is different, though. This is very different from, you know, I did promotions and things in the past, but that was just being myself. It's harder to be a character, I think, when you're out and you have to talk to people or, you know, moan at people or whatever. And I don't know. I'm really excited. I'm excited to go to WonderCon. I'm excited to.
You're
gonna
love it.
Be around all the people who enjoy zombies and that kind of thing as much as I do.
What are you looking forward to more when it comes to WonderCon?
I think just going initially, because I've never been to a big con like that, so I really don't even know what to expect. I just know it's going to be a lot of people and a lot of fun. And
are you going to try to hunt down any like horror-specific celebrities or comic related people or anything like that, or are you just going to try to make it in the front door?
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. I don't even know exactly who all is going to be there. I need to figure that all out. And
so tell me what it's like trying to get in the front door, Richard.
Well, when you have a pro pass, it's pretty easy.
When you're dressed up like a zombie.
Yeah, pretty much when you're in character, you're going to get about maybe 3 to 4 steps at a time before someone wants to take a picture with you.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like there.
Yeah, it's very hot, and you're constantly taking pictures and turning another picture. And everywhere you look, somebody's taking pictures of you, and it's fun, but it's draining. Very draining.
Yeah. Good feet. Wear good shoes this time.
The hotel is attached to con, and it will take you an hour to get from the hotel to the front door.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
On the busiest day.
They will
no. On a bad day.
On the bad day?
Yeah. They will stop and take pictures. Yeah. Because there is the whole...
Maybe they just moved out of the way because of the guns. I don't know.
You got the whole foyer thing in the front.
Yeah.
And people will stop. Like, you can't even get to the door. Like, they're boom, boom, pictures everywhere.
And then you get off the elevator at the hotel to walk across the lobby. It's on.
Just waiting for the
elevator. I'm ready. Bring it on.
It's fun. It's fun. And then what's really fun is to Google, like, WonderCon zombies afterwards and see all the pictures.
And see you. Yeah. Boom, 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 all the way up there. Just first
and your nip slips.
Yeah, and since Myra's a lady, she's all covered, so we're good.
No bikini.
Yeah.
Just you're going to wear the old handy.
I'll tell you what I'm most excited about for WonderCon is hopefully the return of Spider AJ.
No.
Do you know the Spider AJ? I don't know if everybody knows the Spider AJ.
I don't know too well.
Okay, first off, I'm 5'6", 200 pounds. I'm a big chubby guy. Short, chubby guy. Last year, I was on the 7th story. I went out on my balcony to have a cigarette. Closed the sliding glass door. After the cigarette was done, it was 3, 4 in the morning. Turned around and thought I locked myself out on the patio. Couldn't get out, couldn't do anything. I screamed for people below me to get a hold of people. Nobody was paying attention. Remembered that Justin was 3 doors to the right on the same floor. So I got on the railing and Spider AJ'd my ass 3 windows down, 7 stories up, into Justin's patio. Pounded on his window until he let me in. Yep. And then because I had chained the door, so the managers had to come up and cut the chain and let me into my own room.
Great. I guess this was the night before we got there, huh?
No, this was like on a Saturday.
So this was the night we were there?
Mm-hmm. Everybody was there.
Where were we? Down in the...
It was 3 in the fucking morning. I don't know where the hell you were.
I was asleep with Justin then, that first night, Saturday. Yeah.
Hey, No. You weren't there with Justin.
It's the night... I think you guys were gone.
Yeah.
It had to, so Saturday night, Saturday, after the dinner then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry I missed
you. I'm out there.
Right after
boxers. Take a little baggy t-shirt.
I couldn't wait to run around and relay that story to everybody that day.
First thing,
awesome.
First thing I did.
Down there and just happened to see him.
I thought about climbing up to Richard because Richard was literally like one room over and like 6 flights above me.
6 flights up, yeah.
And I was like, oh no. I don't want to fall. I'll just go over to Justin.
Getting onto my balcony, you probably would have slipped from all the freaking blood and whatever.
Blood and hair.
Right.
Yeah.
All the makeup.
Oh, my room was makeup central, and man, there was crap everywhere. And
Pauline and Rissy would go on the balcony to splatter themselves with blood and do the green hairspray color. It was just multicolored out there.
Yeah.
They were in a pool of blood because they dropped one of the cups. So they're mopping it up and just left half of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of bad for me.
Right? They're like, what the hell happened here? Someone left a kidney.
Yeah. Organ trafficking.
Plus, at the last night or the last day, everybody was there and came in the room and they were removing their makeup in my room. So like, there was pieces of fake skin and stuff like all over the sink and the toilet. Like, I think it was Marissa was like peeling off all her prosthetics over the toilet, so it was just all this horrible.
That was from her face because I was enjoying ripping it off her back.
Yeah.
As she was
that was hilarious.
Like,
I was giving a good laugh as Cameron was giving Marissa a nice waxing.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurt.
That poor girl had no peach fuzz on the back. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't have any when we were finished. Or she
spine piece that you made for me, that did not feel good getting ripped off my spine.
Yeah, but you can't go slow. You have to just...
So the fun part of WonderCon will be after the first day when we take you out in full costume down to Downtown Disney for the dinner.
Oh, that was... Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
That's cool.
And you get to walk around all the girls, little kids screaming and freaking out.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I'm
gonna love that.
That one little girl that like walked right up to Jasmine and just had to take a picture. Like this little girl just walked straight up to her and had to take a picture with her.
That's
like,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty
cool. Little girl.
But yeah,
everybody else would like walk and turn around like.
That was a good time.
Yeah, the girls did great walking around that con. We were like, go get that person, go get the person. They would just kind of slowly walk up to them and linger behind one shoulder, and people would turn around. And some of them would drop to the ground and squeal. Other people would just like, I can't look at them, can't look at them. And then, of course, you have those punk ones that are saying, oh, yeah, what are you doing trying to scare me?
And then the pervs that were like, hey.
And the pervs, I want a picture of the bikini. Yeah, all right, and this dead chick here. But They were both were so much fun to parade around that con. And now I get to do it with my wife this time. Her and whoever else is going to be there.
Yeah.
And all of us in soldier gear.
I know, I'm excited.
It is fun, but yeah. Saturday it was so hot. The Friday wasn't too bad. But
yeah, you weren't
in gear.
You weren't in armor.
Full gear.
I don't have the full armor. Which I hopefully
will.
You've
got plenty of time to get it.
Well,
but I still had my somewhat gear, so.
Yeah, it's hot. Like
it was warm.
When I was walking around with that helmet and the mask, it was too much. Like,
I know, about halfway through, you're like, I'm done with this.
Yeah, I could not do that.
I can't do it anymore.
I was pouring sweat. It was so hot, it was dehydrating my contacts. So I couldn't see. Like, everything was fuzzy. Even when I took the goggles off, like, literally, I had to peel the contacts off of my eyes. Yeah, dehydrated down. And when I took the contacts off, everything was foggy from it dehydrating. It was dehydrating my eyes.
Sucking the
moisture out. Yep. Yeah, it was... But it's worth it because it's fun. Like it's a blast.
But it got so congested in there that both me and Sean and Adam were walking at such a small, you know, barely creeping along that my
lower back started hurting because
we weren't moving at a good pace. And you're not walking normally.
Yeah,
you're kind of tiptoeing through the place, and you're just oh. So yeah, gotta wear some shoes that are nice and whatever support you got because it gets. It wears on you after a while, but it was a blast.
And there's so much stuff to see, though. And
it's going to be twice as big this year.
Yeah, to stop and look at somebody's booth, and then for them to want to take a picture with you, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really awesome. There's so many famous people there, and like, just randomly walking around, too. Like, who was it we were talking about? It was Phil Lamar, and I can't remember the other guy's name. The one that was in Drumline. And
oh, Nick Cannon?
No, the...
Oh, Orlando. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's in Sleepy Hollow right now.
Yeah.
Orlando Jones.
Yeah.
He's funny.
Keeping on Orlando Jones, the wrestler.
Gay Jordan.
You're
seeing Orlando Jones.
Reggie Bannister there last year.
From the Phantasms. Lou Ferrigno was there.
Yeah. Hey, Lou is awesome. He will talk about himself for like an hour.
Yeah. And you got to meet Pulido?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to Brian Pulido for about 15, 20 minutes.
I did, too. Yeah.
Because I love his old comics and all that stuff. I see. I've loved even learning and smiling and Lady Death.
Yeah.
Even though he rips us off every year.
I talked to Pulido for. I got to meet Olivia, who's one of my favorite straight-up artists. Like, I met her the first year we were there, the year before. Talked to her about art for like a half an hour, 45 minutes, took a picture. I didn't even ask. Like, I just went to buy a book. She did, because she does all the Betty Page paintings,
mm-hmm.
and does the ones of Julie Strain. And I got to meet her and Julie Strain there, and it was awesome just being there. And she's like, oh, do you want to take a picture? I didn't even ask. Like,
Julie Strain?
Yeah, Julie Strain was there.
I didn't see her.
Damn it!
Yeah. Yeah, she did
not
age.
One of the great scream queens.
She did not age well.
She did not?
No. I had the hugest crush on that girl, too.
She's an Amazon, man.
She's over... She's 6 foot...
She's 6 foot... Oh, she's taller than I am.
She's 6 foot two.
Oh, wow.
The only one in our group taller than me is James.
Yeah. But it's amazing who you can just.
It's sad when I'm taller than you are.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Plus we had Frank Bender, who's a writer of a book series called Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah.
Who was in the booth behind us? Who both James and I are big fans of his books. We went over and talked to him, bought his books, and then he came over and bought a bunch of stuff from us and. Like, really cool, awesome guy.
Our location last year was fantastic.
Yeah,
where we were,
right by the door.
We're right here behind us was Through the Looking Glass. To our left was DC Comics. To our right was Skybound.
Kitty corner there.
Yeah, over here was Boom Studios, Marvel, and we were just surrounded by all big names. And here we are, like, yeah, we belong here.
Mm-hmm. Walking Dead's right here.
Yep.
Yeah, we're like right by the front door too. It was amazing. It was perfect.
Yeah.
The minute you walked in, boom, for Ben Powell.
Cool. I hope we've got a spot like that this time.
I'm sure we will. I mean, we might have three new books. So
we had a cool little booth last year. It was all set up nicely. Quite a few stuff there too.
Yeah, this year should be just as much
fun.
We
need to get some prints of her.
What we need is for everybody that's tuning in right now to please come help us out, because we're running a Kickstarter campaign to try and raise money so that we can have stuff to sell at WonderCon. It's not easy, it's not cheap doing what we do, but we love every second of it and we wouldn't stop it for the world. However, we do need a little help. our incentive programs are fantastic and phenomenal. If you can just pop on over there, check out Forbidden Panel on Kickstarter, and help us out. Even if you can't contribute, at least share it. Share it to somebody who you think will. And
we're giving away some great incentives, some like really awesome stuff too, like
original artwork, posters, pictures, prints, comic books. We're even giving away hugs from Richard, which are very hard to come by.
They are.
Myra will give out hugs too.
Yeah, and we'll put her, you know, we'll put her bit in her mouth so she doesn't bite you. But we're also the grand prize if you contribute $100. Not only do you get everything that Forbidden $1,000. Sorry. Not only do you get everything Forbidden Panel does, but you get two VIP tickets to the Inland Empire Zombie Beauty Pageant for this year, including front row seats in the Splash Zone.
Yay!
And with those tickets, you'll be able to come backstage after the event's over and take pictures of all the girls individually. So head on over and check it out, because we really could use your help. And with that, I think we'll wrap up the show. Is there anything else anybody wants to say?
No, I can think of now.
I don't think so.
It got really quiet. I promise our next episode won't take us 6 months to record, guys. So keep checking out on it. Keep checking out on
this. I think this is worth a 6 month wait.
Yeah.
Oh, and then
no, because I've been sitting here for 2 hours with you naked next to me, and it's pretty creepy. There are things I've
seen. Your hand hasn't moved from my thigh.
It's cold.
My thigh or your hand?
Whatever.
Circulation is hand.
I'm AJ. I want to thank Cameron and Cricket and Richard for joining me this week. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.